Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
4:17. Morning. Before Mark comes up to speak to us, our reading this morning will be from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, starting at verse 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, we'll start at verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down." Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all glorious things that were done by him. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." Mark.
Good morning. Of course, we want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. It's a special day for them. Don't forget Father's Day is not far behind, so we want to take this time to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. And my mother will be returning Tuesday morning. Actually, she'll be at the bus station at 5:30. I'll be picking her up in the morning, not in the evening. Any volunteers to go instead of me? Please let me know after services are over. But look forward to having her back. I did talk to her this morning, wished her a happy Mother's Day. We do have a good number here this morning, and thankful that you have come out to worship God. If you are visiting, we are very thankful that you have come our way. We hope that you'll come back. And thinking of mothers, if our mothers taught us to live as we should, and we're not living as Christians, we're not honoring our mothers, are we? Even if they're already dead, The only way we can truly show respect to our mothers, if they're living or dead, is to live as God would have us to do. And even though some maybe have already passed on, we bring glory to them for the things they had taught us when we were living, by living for Christ right now. And so I would encourage anybody this morning, if you're not a Christian, if there's something that missed in your life, take care of it today. There's time now. You don't know that there's going to be time later on. We always think that there will be, and we know that people are dying on a regular basis, but we always think it's going to be somebody else. Yes, I'm going to die, but that's on down the line. We don't know that, and it's not wise to even wait. If we did have 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it may be, it's wise to obey the gospel now and to serve God faithfully now, because we know what we have here now. We don't always know what's in the future. But let's look at the book of Luke chapter 13 and notice some things there that I think will be beneficial to us, and study these words. And of course, one of the themes early in this chapter is about repentance. And notice what is said here. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled and their sacrifices. Well, he told him about some people that had sacrifices, and human blood was mixed in with the blood of the sacrifices. Well, that is a terrible thing. No doubt about that. But now, that's not the end of the story, though. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? You think because what they did, their sins are worse than anybody else's? You think that God's going to look at them differently than He looks at anybody else? Notice what He says in verse 3. He will repeat this in verse 5. But brethren, we need to take note of this. I tell you, nay or no, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And brethren, we could actually devote the whole morning to just that topic right there. He says, before you look at everybody else, He says, you need to understand that if you don't repent, He says, you're going to perish. One thing it's easy for us to do, isn't it, is to look at it and say, boy, look what this person does. They do this, they do that. I just can't believe people would do that. And never looking at ourselves. Aren't we warned against that? And doesn't Jesus even tell them here, yes, you can see what other people are doing, and those things are wrong. He says, but you need to think about yourself. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. So we need to think about ourselves. Yes, we need to take the gospel to everybody. That's the Great Commission and a commandment to all of us. We certainly need to do that. But brethren, we need to think of our own soul and our own lives and look at ourselves. It's going to be hard to go ask somebody else to repent and turn their lives over to God if we're not willing to do that. Now, what about when somebody repents? Let's think of that for just a moment. Somebody comes forward and, hey, I haven't lived my life as I should as a child of God, and I want forgiveness. And we pray with them. Question. And it's got a rhetorical answer, obviously. But should we forgive them? Of course. Now, I had a phone call yesterday from a man, and some of you would know him. But he was telling me about a friend of his. He'd committed sin. There was actually no doubt about that. But he had repented. But some of the brethren were still trying to make it difficult for him. Now, I understand we've discussed on different occasions sin, and then there's consequences even sometimes if you're forgiven. You know, there's people in prison today that perhaps have obeyed the gospel, but they still got to stay in prison. We understand that, and that's a truth that's taught in the Bible. But now, there's another aspect of it. He says that you must repent. But brethren, we also must look at people, and we look at people's lives, and sometimes we see things that are wrong. I think if we looked at most people's lives, if we looked at it as a whole, you're going to find some places in there that's not what it should be. But what about when somebody does repent? Should we forgive? Not only should we forgive, it's a commandment of God. And if we don't forgive, we can still have our prayers. We can still ask God to forgive us. And we can still come to all the services of the church. But if we're not willing to forgive those that do repent, and repentance we need to make note of here, is a change of heart, a change of mind. And it will lead to a change in the lives that we live. If we were serving Satan, not living as we should, we repent, we change our mind. I'm not going to do that anymore. And so we change the direction that we're going in. But brethren, we must encourage each other. Sometimes I see brethren like what the brother called me about the one yesterday, and it looks like they would be terrified if the person did repent. Therefore, they'd be obligated to forgive them. I remember several years ago, there was a turmoil actually in the brotherhood, and some people were writing some things about other people. And, you know, that's easy to do, write somebody up, I suppose. But they accused this person of doing this and teaching this. So I thought, well, I'm going to call the person, at least see what they say. I called them. This person didn't believe anything that they were teaching, but he also made this statement. He said, not a one of those brethren ever contacted me a single time. Now, what motivates such actions as this? They're not concerned about repentance. They're concerned about something else. Rather, when somebody is lost in sin, we shouldn't rejoice over it. We shouldn't be happy with it because we see what sin does to their lives. And here's something else that's also a commandment. If thy brother sin against thee, what? Rebuke him. If he repent, what? Forgive him. Now, here's something that you see quite often, and it'd be what like the situation the brother called me about yesterday. It's not unusual that if somebody does something to us that we're offended, and sometimes we can be offended when we think somebody has done something to us and really hasn't. And then sometimes it can be real. But whatever the case may be, real or simply perceived, don't we have an obligation to go to that person and talk with them rather than going to this person and telling them and going to this person and telling them and going over here and talking to somebody else? When does the responsibility come to go to the person that we have the problem with? See, we must be concerned about somebody's soul, not simply condemning people, because we have to think about this, our own lives. Jesus died on the cross, not just for everybody else's sins. He died on the cross for everybody's sins, didn't he? And he wants everybody to be saved. Peter said he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, he wrote that to brethren. He was writing to Christians and speaking to Christians when this was taking place. Brethren, we should desire that people would repent. And here's something we must think about. If we present an attitude, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm not forgiving you. Is that not going to drive that person away from God and away from the church? Brethren, we must have an idea that sin is wrong, but you can overcome sin. And there's no sin, listen to me, there's no sin that you've committed or could commit that God won't forgive you of. Now, if you will repent. But now, once that repentance has taken place, brethren, we need to work, as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 1, he says, you go to a brother or sister, whatever it may be, that has fallen by the wayside. He says, you seek to bring them back to what they used to be. But now he also says, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Brethren, we must consider our brothers and sisters. We want them to be what they used to be. We can look out among us. There's some empty pews that used to have certain people in them. Not full anymore. Well, what happened? For whatever reason, whatever it may be, they have gone back into the world. Well, we should be sorry that they've got entangled in sin. We should never approve of the sin. But at the same time, we should seek to restore them, bring them back to what they used to be. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, of those 18, upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, thinking that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem. He says, these people died. He says, you think their sins is any worse than your sins? Look at verse 5. He repeats what he said to them. Now, if he just said it one time, it's still just as important. It still means just as much as it did. But notice what he says again. He's putting an emphasis on it. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Correct your own sins. It doesn't take a great man to point out everybody else's sins. Anybody can do that. You don't have to have a lot of experience at it either, do you? Not a lot of training required. But to look at our own lives and say, here's what I need to change. Here's what I need to do differently. Well, Jesus reminds them of that. He says, ye need to look at yourselves and think about yourselves. Not just somebody else's life, but examine yourselves. And also Paul said, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. Brethren, we are told repeatedly, even before we observe the Lord's Supper, we should examine ourselves. Because if we take in the wrong manner, we can eat and drink damnation to our souls. So we have to be careful about our own lives and never look down upon other people. It should hurt us when somebody else has sinned. We should never rejoice over it. No, not for a second. And in verse 6, he goes on to say, he spake also this parable, and I believe that this is only a book that records this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now here's a different aspect of what he's discussing. We hope and pray that people will repent. But also there comes a time that, brethren, we have to bear fruit. You know, everybody that's a Christian should be bearing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering toward other people. You know, that's the commandment of God. I'm afraid sometimes in the church, we've got this idea, if I was baptized, man, my name's written in the book of life, it's over with. But it's not like that, is it? Yes, if you've obeyed the gospel, certainly your name is in the Lamb's book of life. But also understand this, it can be removed. It can be taken out. See, we must bear fruit. Baptism was not the finish line. Baptism was the place that we started. It's the place that we've begun the race. But brethren, we must continue in this race, because if we look back and go back into the world, we can again be lost and think, you know, I know there's some religious groups that teach that once you're saved, you can't be lost. Have you ever wondered why God gives us so many warnings about being lost and talks to members of the body of Christ about that? Even such as Galatians 6:1 that we already referred to. Examine yourselves and, you know, you go to others, but he says, consider yourself, lest I also be tempted. You see, Peter also given warnings. Brethren, we must be busy bearing fruit for God. I think it would be safe to say most members of the church are going to be good workers out in the field. Whatever job you may do, you know, if you work in the medical field, whatever field you may be in, if you work at a factory or whatever type of work, you would think Christians would be the most diligent workers anywhere there would be. But here's something that we sometimes see. Sometimes people are diligent workers out in the secular job, but then when it comes to the Lord's church, they don't put a lot of emphasis on that. We were talking in our class in the back this morning, the new converts class, if you want to call it that, about sometimes we take this Bible here and we view study as something that you do. You know, once I've finished all the important things and if there's time left, hey, I'll take God's Word out and study it. See what the Bible says. Really, that's backwards, isn't it? The Word of God should be the most important thing in our lives. What does God want me to do? How does God want me to do it? What about my family? What about teaching them and training them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Brethren, we must be those that produce fruit. Now, Jesus also gives a warning here. You know, He's patient. He is long-suffering. God does not want anybody to perish. But, brethren, understand this. There is a time when God says, that's all I'm going to bear with you. There's a time, if you don't bear fruit, there's a time that God's going to deal with us. Certainly at the judgment. But, brethren, what if we die in a condition and we're not serving God faithfully? Even though the world continues to stand, we haven't been bearing fruit and we die in that condition. You can't change it. The Bible talks none about purgatory. The Bible talks nothing about that. See, we must die righteously if we're going to be judged righteously. And so we must live righteously right now. We must bear fruit for God. In this coming week, as we, today being the first day of the week, you have certain plans that you may be planning to do. Most of you are probably planning to either go back to school tomorrow or back to work. But you have plans, and you'll make plans to do those things. Do you plan to bear fruit for God this week? Do you plan to try to lead a soul to Christ this week? Well, that's important, and brethren, that is more important than what we do in our secular jobs and in taking care of our yards and those type of things. Serving God is the most important thing that we can ever do. and bearing fruit for Him. And I want my Heavenly Father to be pleased with me, don't you? I want Him to be pleased that I brought forth fruit and that I won't have to be ashamed when I stand before our Lord. In verse 10 he says, "And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of an infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Notice something. Bible miracles, when you read about a Bible miracle, it was performed and the miracle took place immediately. She didn't have to go back to the doctor to get better. That wasn't helping her anyway. Now notice also the writer here is Luke that writes about this woman being sick. Luke is a physician. He's a doctor. Jesus is the one that healed her. And I know it says that she glorified God. She was grateful that God, through His Son, had made her whole again. And brethren, we should rejoice for what God has done for us. But you know the number one thing that we should rejoice in? Our salvation. That Jesus died on the cross. We were trapped in sin. We were lost. But Jesus made it possible for me to be saved. We saw one Friday afternoon. Obeyed the gospel. Became a child of God. But now think of the ramifications of that. Once you obey the gospel, well, she'll teach her children. They're going to grow up. They're going to teach somebody too. But what if that never happens? What if we never make that step? We're not willing to obey the gospel, or we're not willing to make our lives right with God if we are children of God in their sin and their lives. We're not willing, as Jesus commanded in Luke 3 and verse 5 here, we're not willing to repent. Well, see, there's also going to be a chain reaction to that. If I'm not faithful, I'm not going to teach my wife and children. I'm not going to try to teach my neighbor. See, there's a chain reaction. So what we choose to do actually goes well beyond affecting just ourselves. Sometimes we think, I want to live for myself. Well, you may want to do that, but your life, it touches other people. And people will see what you do, but if you live for Christ, you can touch people's life in a right way, a way that will be helping and pleasing to them. And our Father in heaven will be glad because you are bringing fruit to Him. But this woman glorified God. She didn't turn away and forget where the blessings come from. Do you think we ever do that? That we forget where our blessings came from to begin with? That we lose sight of where all those blessings come from? We just take it for granted. Think about the air that we breathe. Let God keep that for 10 minutes. What's going to happen to all of us? We'll be dead. See, we're not self-sustaining. We can't do that. We have to have God. And this morning, I had the privilege to lead that prayer. But in the prayer on behalf of all of us, I would hope that you would say amen. We ask God for forgiveness of our sins. Brethren, that only comes by and through Jesus Christ. And we need to be thankful for that. There's so much that we need to be thankful for. But notice verse 14. It says, "And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation." He's not happy that this woman's been healed. He's not happy that she's glorifying God. That's not what he sees. Notice what takes place here. It says he had indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." He missed what really mattered, didn't he? He was trying to bind something that God was not binding. But he missed what was important. And brethren, make sure this morning that you don't miss what is important. Your salvation is at stake. Serve God with all of your heart. Not half-heartedly serving God, but with all of your heart. Why is it that across our country, across the brotherhood, in places where people are meeting this morning, just like we are, a lot of them at the same hour we're meeting at, as we worship, they're worshiping, but this evening, that number will be decreased drastically. Those people not need God anymore, that's not the case. Those that do come back and partake in worship again, they just need more than the others? That's not the case. See, we all need God, don't we? We need to realize what's important, but brethren, we need to realize it before it's taken away from us. And it's like health. We don't think anything about having good health until it's gone. And until you can't get it back, then we miss those simple things in life that we could do. We took them for granted. Brethren, today is a day of salvation. Make your calling and election sure. But now Jesus answered this man, The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. They finally realized what's important. It says they were ashamed. Rather, they were already religious. He met in the synagogue. He's talking to religious people. Religious people were ashamed. Why? They didn't realize what was important. Jesus, the Son of God, is in their presence. A woman's just been healed, and she's glorifying God. They're not focusing upon that, though. Do you realize you did it on the Sabbath day? They're actually rebuking the Lord. The Lord is one that gave the rebuke, though, isn't He? And brother, we need to look at our lives. What do I need to do? And am I missing what's important? You know, Mother's Day here, and of course I had to mention Father's Day coming up. But you think about being a parent, not an easy task, is it? But do you realize our children, whatever you face, they're going to have to go out in this world once they're grown and face the same thing? The same thing that we face. You already know that. One thing sometimes actually scary, I think, for parents, because they do know that. And they know what it's like to go through life. And that being the case, no, there's not a guarantee if we teach them right and live right that they will live right. But I do know it increases the chances. It increases the likelihood that if we are faithful to God, there's much more likelihood that they will be faithful to God. But brethren, if it doesn't matter to us, boy, if we can just blow it off and, hey, I'll see you next Sunday, maybe I won't. Brethren, they're going to do the same thing. And it may be later in life we decide, I'm going to dedicate my life to God. I'm not living like that anymore. But the damage is done. And you can't reverse it. Take advantage of the opportunity that you have. Understand what is important that's right before you. And use it while you have that opportunity. In verse 18, he says, Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like unto which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Leaven, yeast, you put it in the bread, it affects the whole bread, not just part of it. The point I just made, what you do or what you choose not to do, this very day, not only will it affect your soul's salvation, it will affect somebody else's. Either your children, your spouse, your brothers and sisters in the flesh, your neighbors, your co-workers. See, the decision that we make, it's going to have effect on a lot of people. And we need to think about that. I don't know about you, but as a father, I'd want all the help that I can get. And we can't make it without God, can we? This morning, if you're not a Christian, would you be willing to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of sins? No more living for yourself. This morning, if you are a child of God, there's sin in your life. What did Jesus say? Repent or perish. Brethren, it can't be any plainer than that. And God wants you to go to heaven. We want you to go to heaven. And it's too important to miss because your soul salvation is at stake. Will you come as we stand and as we sing?